This is Lisa DeLay, and you are listening to the Spark My Muse podcast. This is Soul School, Lesson 93. If you're listening to this the day it was released, I am in the San Francisco Bay Area, the Santa Cruz, Scotts Valley area, and I'm enjoying some time with the people of The Gathering. This is a group that was gathered together by Krista Tippett and the On Being Studios team, as well as a bunch of other luminaries, teachers, poets, writers, and thinkers. And we're having a lot of fun. You can get in on what is happening there as I do some broadcasting from there and some live broadcasting, and I will be taping some audio as well. The best way to get connected with that is to go to my website, sparkmymuse.com, and see what's available. A lot of these things will be available to my sponsors of the show, the special people who make this work possible, at a $5 a month sponsor level. I will also have some things there to check out, even if you don't sponsor the show. But it would be really awesome if you could help me in the production of this show by sponsoring with a few dollars. So today, I'm going to be talking about calcified opposition. So what do I mean by that? You probably have noticed that there is a lot of division and a lot of partisanship, especially in our government and among people who are forced by their algorithms to only read things that they already agree with, and people are more and more divided. I strive on this show to not be partisan, and that means emotionally tied to one side, emotionally tied to a particular point of view. I try to make an effort to have people from many different viewpoints, different backgrounds, and different ways of life on my show, because I think there is value in listening well and understanding that people come from different walks of life and we can all learn from each other. But as I've really noticed some of what's happening as people oppose each other, as people resist each other, as people stand against each other, I have some observations I'd like to make. And this is not to say that you shouldn't have values and stand up for what you believe in or stand up against injustices. We should all stand up against things that are wrong in the world. When someone is being abused or taken advantage of, we should stand up and fight for the right thing. And we might have different opinions about what that might be. But in doing that, I hope that we can come to agreements about what to do and not just bulldoze and run over people, not just shout other people down or assume that the other person always has an ill intent. From my vantage point, I think we need to actually start listening and communicating well. But what often happens is a lot of just partisan rhetoric and shouting over each other, which of course doesn't do much in the end except for maybe vent our feelings and serve the confirmation bias of people who already think like us. One of the things that struck me that I've taken note of recently is that as we oppose or resist something and we keep a stance against something, what we often don't realize is that as time passes, that thing has already changed and we have already changed as we encounter it. The conversation has changed, and even by encountering it and speaking up about the thing itself, we have changed. And this is an interesting thing because what we're fighting against, say we're fighting against childhood poverty and hunger, as we interact with those issues and topics and we do something about it, we start a program or we get people aware and involved, the topic starts to take shape and shift and maybe get into more specifics, and maybe things can be addressed more specifically, and it can move beyond awareness to drill down into other specific things. But what always happens is that as we move towards our targets of trying to address certain issues, these are moving targets and they always change and they always move. But oftentimes we stand in one spot and resist them and stand up to our opponents and we stay in one spot. We hold a memory of the situation or the problem, and it's like an etching of the situation. Something is etched in, like acid etches into metal for an etching that an artist makes. It's a frozen thing. It's something that gets caught in time, like shapes get caught in wet cement and then they solidify. And this calcification of our opposition actually prevents us from seeing it well again and from then on. And we are changing too as people. As we interact and we feel passionately and we engage with others, our position shifts subtly, but we might not realize it. Hopefully, as we listen to people, our position shifts and matures and deepens and takes shape. And if we are assuming that we are the same, we are not aware that the depth of our engagement will change us, and possibly radically so. So we're changing with each step or action or each word. We are made different. And this sets our path toward a different point. And it sets our path in motion. And all of us are in motion. And the problems that we're addressing are also in motion. But there is no place you can be like the place where you started from. That place where you started from no longer exists. And we can't use the same tools or the same strategies that we did in the beginning, because that would make no sense. We are always being called into the more and the what is to come. And this means that we have to take, often we have to take an inventory, and then soon after that, another inventory of who we are and where we are now and where we ought to go and what is left to do in ourselves and in the work we're doing, in the projects we're doing, in the causes we believe in. We have to often remember to listen and listen deeply and listen very well to the inner cries and passions of our heart, but also to our fellow travelers, the people who are working with us, but also the people we have felt we oppose and the people we are hoping to serve. When I cling to my need for an explanation, it will always obscure the experience of meaning, and it will obscure the passage of time. It will postpone my experience of what is and who is around me in this new time that has come. In these ways, this is how we go about minding the light. This is a Quaker term that takes into consideration the inner light within that each person has. It takes into account the aliveness and the holiness and the sacred activity of this ongoing flame within each one of us that always must be tended and nurtured and allowed to shine and warm others too. Something that each person has because each person is made in the image of their creator. And when we deepen into wonder this way, not always needing explanations and not always needing to be opposed in a way that calcifies us, we don't get into a stance that becomes calcified, and we don't push away all that we disdain in order to preserve ourselves. Because when we do, before we know it, movement has happened, and the water in the stream that we have been holding up and damming with our hands and holding back, that water has shifted into new pools and has moved downstream without our knowing it. I give you this word of encouragement. If you believe in something and you're fighting an uphill battle and you're in a struggle, whether it's something personal or a project or something that you're opposing and you feel like you need to see more justice in the world and in something that you believe in, keep engaging the present issue of the now. And know that as you do, these things transform, they morph and change. And realize that nothing stays calcified. There is a momentum when it concerns people and relational dynamics and issues about lives and the realities of life and struggle. And be encouraged to keep going. There's already momentum, and you can be part of the momentum too. You don't have to feel like you have to stand like a rock and be unmovable and calcified in your opposition. You can be flexible and bendable and be listening and concerned in ways that move beyond your first stance and your first position. because that place no longer exists. Things have changed from the very moment you engaged with them and the very moment you started with your action towards something new. I would love to hear your thoughts about this and maybe what you've been passionate about or resisting or working on. And if you want to get in touch with me about that, you can go to sparkmymuse.com for this episode, Soul School, Lesson 93. Or you can get in touch with me on Twitter at Lisa DeLay or at SparkMyMuse on Twitter, and you can engage with me and we can talk about some of these things. I would love to hear from you. The next release will be on a Wednesday, as usual, and I wish you the very best.